Wow, good afternoon, good evening, all of you, brothers and sisters. So good to be here with all of us worshiping. How many of us will you really thoroughly enjoy ourselves in a worship? Can I see your hands? Fantastic, friends. Right, let's continue to come. And for those who are not able to, or whatever reason, that's fine. But those who are able, encourage you to come to join us, friends, you know. Right? Whatever your age, doesn't matter, just come. Friends, as long as healthy and strong, no symptoms whatsoever. For example, Doris and we are above 70. We come here, we just join the worship of God. So just come, friends, which is so important, right? Because nothing beats it by worshiping God in person, okay, together as a congregation, God's people, and all God's people say, amen. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. Well, Pastor Chris mentioned about our anniversary gift weekend. I just want to give a quick report as to the latest, okay, that is, okay, collected. As of 20th of January, right? The total amount collected is 2.95 million. Okay, that's cash as well as pledges that have come in. Cash and pledges, that about 2.9 million. All right, those of you who have not, okay, make a pledge or given, can I encourage you to do so? Plus, those of you online, don't miss the privilege, the joy of giving, really, friends. So, giving in UMC is really a privilege, a blessing, and a joy. We don't give to get. We just give to be a blessing to other people, friends, you know. What a joy we can participate in the work of God here in Malaysia, as well as so many, many parts of the world. So, church, can I challenge you? Let's rise up to give. Some of you want to give more. Do so as well, friends, you know. As always, it is here, the blessing and joy that is ours to be a share in the work of God. And all God's people say, all right, you and I never know, because in heaven one day, some of these people come to us and say, thank you so much for your giving. Our lives are impacted because of your contribution towards the work of God, towards God's kingdom. Amen? So, so important, okay, for all of us. Now, I know this pandemic has affected all of us across the world. And sadly, as we know, this pandemic has created anxiety, concern, worry, if not even fear, isn't it? Wondering, when is this going to end? Wondering, where is this going to take us onto? And because of this kind of things that has happened to all of us in so many respects, in so many ways of anxiety, worry, okay, and fear, I want to speak, okay, today on building faith and overcoming fear, which is, I think, important for all of us in this season of time, at this point of our life, not just for us in Malaysia, I believe for many of us around the whole world indeed. And therefore, I want to speak this from John chapter 10, okay, verses 11 to 16 in the words of Jesus. Why don't we stand together, all right, to read from the Word of God, okay, in honor and respect of the Word of God like this together. Come together in our loudest, most robust DMC voices together. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Father, I ask, O, take your word and speak and challenge us and draw us in response. O God, we pray that we encounter you in a very special manner in these days and times we are living in. Father, I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you take your seats? We're living in really uncertain times. It is just getting more and more uncertain for all of us, isn't it? We've been reading stories, hearing reports, okay, of all kinds of things happening. Sickness, illness, disease, even death, and everything else happening. Even the latest, okay, volcanic eruption and a tsunami that's affected the island of Tonga tragically, isn't it? And most of the people in Tonga, by the way, they are Christians. So pray for them, that God's mercies and grace be upon them to minister to them in a wonderful, wonderful manner. But friends, you know, sometimes we wonder, Lord, when is this going to end? Can we have a sense of normalcy in some way, a bit more predictable? All right, a bit more certain as it were to chart our course, our life ahead. Friends, the fact of the matter is we will never return to any form of normalcy. In fact, it will become even more uncertain, all right? More insecure, more trying in so many ways. Why is this the case? Because it's what Scripture says. Scriptures tell us that in the last days, things will get worse, will not get better, isn't it? Jesus tells us, for example, in Matthew 24, that in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines and pestilences and all kinds of things happening. All right? We're increasingly moving towards that kind of situation, all right, in the whole world. So, friends, the reality, we'll never return back to normal anymore. We must, you and must prepare for what is to come. But you know, friends, what is important is this. In the midst of the uncertainty we are experiencing, you and I need to know there's a God who loves us. There's a God who really loves us. And this is so important for you and I to know, friends. This is critically important. And that's how Jesus tells us like this in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, friend, Jesus himself is a good shepherd. A shepherd will always take care and good care of the sheep. But friends, you know, here is Jesus, the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd. He will certainly take care and good care of every one of us. And that's so important for all of us in all that we're going through. He knows, for example, our joys, our victories, our successes and accomplishments. But he also knows our fears, our agonies, our frustrations, our struggles, our pains, our wounds, our hurts in life. He knows everything about it because why? He's the good shepherd. And that's the reason, my friends, when you and I grab hold and take grip really of the understanding this God really loves me in spite of all that I go through, it gives us peace and assurance. And that's so, so important, friends, for all of us. Not only, friends, you know that this good shepherd loves me, that I'm special to him, but also he knows me by name and he leads me on. Okay, why? Because here in John chapter 10, second half of verse 3 and verse 4, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Imagine, friends, Jesus calls each one of us who are his sheep by name. He knows our name. And names are all very special, isn't it? All right? We all treasure our names. We all love our names, isn't it? We are proud of our names. Amen? Why? Because when people, for example, pay attention to our names, what does it show? It shows that they value us, right? They want to connect with us personally. And that's so important for you and I to know, isn't it? All right? So I try to be a little bit like Jesus, although I'm far, far from Jesus, that try to know people's names. It's like this lady, after she has done her stint in UK for some 30 years, she felt it was time to pack up, to relocate back to Malaysia, okay? And just do something and contribute towards the work of God's kingdom, all right? In spite of her marvelous career that she had had in the UK. And so, before she came back, she was given a list of churches to visit. And so, the first Sunday back here in Malaysia, decided maybe I should come and visit DUMC. So, she walked right in, DUMC. All right? I said, hi, what's your name? And she mentioned to me her name. I said, that's great. Welcome you to DUMC, that kind of thing. Next Sunday, she came in and she walked through our main entrance here. I said, hi, Jackie, welcome. You know what? Because I call her name, she decided this is a church for her. Wow, knowing people's names got benefits, amen? Isn't it? I still remember also this young couple who came to DMC in the early days, okay, when we were in Taman Mayang. Visiting us for the first time with two young little children, all right? Second Sunday, he came back. I said, you are so-and-so, you are so-and-so. You know what? This couple stayed on after that. Today, he's one of our pastors. Hello? So people not only end up becoming a worshiper, become a member, can become a pastor as well, friends. So let's remember one another's names because you will never know what's going to happen to every one of us. In fact, just today I conducted a wedding and over reception just now we were talking about it. And this guy, right, said to this other fellow I was introduced to and we chatted and talked and he said, you know, the first time I came to church here in Ruby Cinema, okay, and 5 months later, all right, I came again the second time. And as I walked through, he called me my name. And he said, you know what? Now you remember your name forever. I said, no, you're not. You know how I remember his name? Because it's a big, serious trouble. That's why I remember his name. But friends, you know, we remember people's names for all kinds of reasons. Some good, some not so good. Amen? But we trust that whatever people remember us by, we trust those are good things. And all DMC people say, isn't it so, so important? But names are very, very important for you. Because, boy, it means we attach value to you. It means you're important. It means I want to connect with you. I want to be personal with you. Isn't it? And I pray by God's grace, friends, here in DUMC, we're going to connect with one another personally. Amen? No one should be a stranger here in DUMC. Make time for one another. And if you see any strange faces at the end of a celebration, purposely go up, connect with that person. Get to know that person. Best of all, take that person out for dinner. Hello? Okay, all quiet. Never mind. But friends, you know, that's how, friends, we make people feel at home. Welcome. Okay, and there's a sense of belonging. And that's so important. Why? Because it's a family of God, isn't it? Very, very important for all of us like this. Not only friends, you know what? All right, you and I know that he loves me. I'm special to him. I'm his wonderful child. But you know what, friends? How do I therefore build faith and overcome fear in these challenging days and times. Now we know we have been stretched in so many ways. Listen, we have been disturbed and troubled. And some of us, I know, have lost loved ones. All right? In fact, Doris and I, we have lost two loved ones in just that one last year alone. And some of us here have lost loved ones. We have lost two staff from our staff team in the last 2 years or so. It's in different ones. In fact, just last week, chatting with this two couples, wonderful couples, they said, just behind our neighbor at the back, they've lost two persons within a matter of 2 or 3 days. It must be hard and painful and difficult, isn't it? But friends, in the midst of challenging days and times, how can we build faith and overcome fear, as it were, which is, I think, so important, so that we don't allow fear to cripple us, grip us to such an extent that we are paralyzed in the process. How can we build faith and overcome, all right, fear in these challenging days and times? Firstly, friends, exercise our faith and prove that this God is trustworthy. You and I need to be stretched in our faith and exercise it so that at the end of it, or when you come through it, you know this God is trustworthy. You know this God is faithful. You know this God is there for you, with you, in you and around you. And that's very important. Take, for example, as we all know, the second half of last year, we began our free food, isn't it? Out here in the Dream Center, just outside the guardhouse, okay, anyone can come and collect, okay, any number of packs of ready-cooked food for them to take away to eat and so on and so forth. At the height of it, we are giving away 600 to 700 packs of food a day like this. And all kinds of people come, Malays, Chinese, Indians, okay, all kinds of races from East Malaysia, including foreigners as well, Bangladeshis, Nepalese, Filipinos, Indonesians, all kinds will come. And we count it a real joy and privilege to be able to serve them. But friends, you know, that was also the height of our COVID situation in this country, when we are chalking up 20 to 30,000 cases every day like this. It must be worrisome, isn't it? It must be fearsome as well, as we all know, sometimes in situations like this, right? I felt I want to go down and serve, but there are a number of people, quite enough, expressing concern for me, right? For good reasons. They're concerned for my safety, for my security, all right? To make sure that I got many more years that I could serve the Lord, which I really want to in a wonderful manner. All right. In fact, one of the pastors actually advised me, I think you should stay back and not go. But I felt deeply in my heart, I want to go in there, to be there, to connect with the people who come like this from day to day, which is, I think, so important. Right? And you know what, friends? I told them, you'll pray for me as I will pray for myself, but I will still go. Friends, you know what? This is what exercising faith is all about. Stepping out in faith and trust God. This God is a good God. This God is a God who loves me and loves every one of us. He cares for me more than you and I realized. He knows how long we should live or how long we should not live. Now, not that, friends, can I say, not that we should throw away the SOPs, not that we should throw away caution to the wind. We should not do that. We should undertake all the SOPs, amen. But after you undertake all the SOPs, what else can you do? Isn't it? Because why? If not, you and I can be crippled in our home, locked in, then we'll go, and I know people. Up to today, 2 years later almost, we've hardly left the home. We can end up like this, friends. But I pray by God's grace, with the mercies and grace of God, this is where faith is called forth, that we step out to know this God loves me. He cares for me. He knows my joys and my victories, but He also knows my fears and my struggles and my pains. Step out and trust Him and see what happens. And it was my joy and privilege. I only missed 3 or 4 days. That's all in the 3.5 months only or so, right? Because I've got other engagements. But I was there with them to connect with them. And what a blessing and joy it is that at any of you, you come to the experience proving, friends, this God is trustworthy. He is faithful. He never changes. Amen. And when God takes you to that level of faith, you are now ready to scale another level, another level. And which is, I think, so important. And God, by His mercies and grace, in this last 5 decades, has taken me to different levels of faith stretching, all right, to believe that He is there for me, with me, as is with all of us, and all God's people say. Friends, you know, faith is only true faith provided as exercise. Because we may have faith, but we lock ourselves in our home. We never exercise our faith. We never grow in faith. We never deepen, friends, the whole area of trust in God to believe this God is great, good, and wonderful. Listen. That's important for you and I, friends, exercising our faith to believe this God will be there for us, with us. The second thing, all right, in order to build faith and overcome fear, is to engage the community and know their fears and struggles too. Friends, you and I think we got our struggles and our fears. Please know, friends, many out there, they're undergoing greater fears and struggles and pains and sorrows in life. Friends, you know, it is a huge privilege to engage with the community, isn't it? Because we are called not just to pastor the church within the four walls, we are called to pastor the community, we are called to pastor the city. And all God's people say, so important is the one important lesson God is teaching us in the midst of this pandemic in Malaysia, as well as the whole world, to take the church outside. The church is not meant to remain just within the four walls of the church. The church is meant to be out there with the people, for the people. So, so important. And you know, friends, when I connected with them, it was my huge privilege and joy to learn the different stories and pains and struggles to go through. One Malay lady, for example, she comes every day to collect 70 packs of food. I said, tell me your story. She's only in her late 40s, 6 children. The oldest is 25 years old. The youngest, 8 years old. One of the children, right, is a special child. And she's a wrestle through, and the husband don't bring in a lot of income. She's a wrestle through the heartaches and the pains of trying to hold the family together. And she said, you know why I take these 70 packs? Because there are many other Malay families in the area I live in Lembah Pantai, low-cost housing, many more in need. Friends, you and I only understand when you connect with people, you know, and journey with them, their heartaches and the pains. Friends, sometimes we think we are bad. There are many, many out there much, much worse off than all of us. Amen. And this is where, friends, when we journey with them, empathize with them, this is where, friends, they give opportunity to share the love of God with them. All right? To demonstrate the love of Jesus to each and every, which is, I think, so, so important for all of us. Not in friends, you know, right? To really exercise faith and step out to trust Him so that we grow really in faith and a deeper faith in God. Not in friends, to engage the community, but also thirdly, friends, express faith in action by serving these people. Because that's what faith is all about, isn't it? It has to be acted out. Then only, friends, we begin to experience the reality of God, the power of God at work in a wonderful manner, isn't it? For example, one Malay man, senior man, came, collected the food, came back a second time to collect food, and then as he was about to walk off, he said, my wife just died of COVID-19. My goodness, when you hear a story like this, what happens to you? All your red bells all go up, isn't it? My goodness, am I close contact with him now? What is going to happen to me? Natural, isn't it? Natural kind of alarm bells will go off. But friends, you know, this is where we learn to express our faith in action and say, Lord, my life is in your hands. Even if I'm a close contact, I trust you. I want to believe in you. I want to rest myself in, okay, your hands, to know that you are a good God. You know how long I should live and how long I should not live, friends. As I said, we don't throw caution to the wind. But friends, when we encounter situations, what do we do? Do we panic and run away and say, for goodness sake, please don't come anymore, and they keep on coming back? But friends, it's a great joy and privilege to serve them and express faith in action to these people like this, because why? There are a lot more pain out there than you ever realize, friends. That's where the church must connect with the community, but share and demonstrate Christ's love in a powerful manner to all of us, to all these people like this. But friends, you know, nothing, you and I must be assured of, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Apostle Paul reminds us like this in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and 38 and 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I need to come to a point and a place, friends, to know that this love of God is so great and deep and wonderful. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not life or death, height or whatever else can separate us. And this is so important, friends. It reminds me of this brother, a dear, wonderful brother, when he was ICU in hospital recently. And you know, friends, we all know, when we're ICU, it is almost like sometimes touch and go, you know. You don't know. Talking about touch and go, there is this man from Australia coming back to Malaysia for holiday. And so he was driving towards the toll booth. He saw the sign touch and go. So he stopped there at the toll booth. He touched, no go, touch and no go. He said, what kind of sign is this? I thought touch and go. He said, my goodness, it's not touch and you go. You got to pay for it first before you can touch and go, isn't it? But you and I know, friends, when we are sometimes in the ICU, you never know. And what happens? This brother said, it was there that I really experienced what the love of God is all about, even though it's touch and go for my life. But when God is there, right, I'm secure in His love. This God will hold me in His hands. I'm His precious child. He loves me so much that neither life nor death and height or danger, devil or demons or angels can separate from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So important, friends. And that's how, church, in the midst of uncertainty, you need to know how much is God loves me, how much is God values me, how precious I am to Him. That's the first and important thing for all of us. We're going to build faith, friends, increasingly in more and more uncertain times in the coming days. The second thing is that in the midst of insecurity, know that there is a God who is always present. All right? He is always present with us. And who else could do better than King David himself, who was pursued by King Saul, totally uncertain about his future, even though he has been anointed king. He didn't become king 13 years later. In the midst of that, friends, Saul pursued him like crazy. It was also touch and go for him, not knowing how long he's going to live, right? With the kind of pursuit that King Saul is really going after him. And David, friends, writes to us in this well-known Psalm 23 and in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." See, friends, the deep assurance is God is there with me, and therefore He is for me, and therefore He's in me and around me all the time, isn't it? That's the wonderful thing about being a child of God. Earlier on, friends, all right, you and I need to know that this God of ours treats us like His sheep, because He is the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. But friends, you know, how can we be His sheep? Jesus reminds us, "I lay down my life so that you could become my sheep in the process." And therefore, friends, for those of you here or those of you watching online, if you don't know Jesus Christ yet as Lord and Savior, you are not yet His sheep, really. But you can become His sheep. In what manner and form? Acknowledging Jesus Christ laid down His life for you, asking Him to forgive you of your sins. All right? Inviting Jesus into life as Lord and Savior. And it is when you take that step of faith, you become a child of God. You become His sheep. And now you can journey with Him knowing the security that is in Jesus Christ like this, friends. And that's the reason why, friends, when the Lord is present, you can know His protection, isn't it? There is a wonderful protection of God accompanying us in whatever we go through in life. And that's the security He provides for you and I, friends, in the midst of uncertain future that you and I go through like this. I know what it's like. Because at one point in my life was in great danger. And when I stepped into my car, I was totally frozen for many, many minutes. I couldn't move at all. I knew that I knew what fear can do to us. Fear causes you to freeze and that you just cannot move anymore. And I sat there totally immovable for many, many minutes. Slowly, slowly, I had to begin to recognize God being there with me. Lord, in spite of the intimidation and threat to my life, Lord, you are here. You are here with me. I want to find a really deep down a restedness and security in you. It will never be easy. It's a journey of faith. I've been journeying like this for more than 30 years now when that experience took place more than 30 years ago, and I continue to journey and learn what it means to trust the Lord, all right, and to walk by faith and not by sight. Never easy. Never, never easy. Okay, like this. But friends, you know, this is what you and I can have the peace and assurance that when the Lord is there, there's God's protection. Well, you must believe that God has a design and destiny for our lives as to how long we live. All right, trust Him. Because why? This God is a good God. As I said before, we don't throw caution to the wind. We don't just go and be reckless in our life. No, we take all the necessary precautions, all the things that we need to do rightly and properly. But beyond that, friends, we trust Him. All right? Why? Because He is such a good, good God towards each and every one. Not only is He a good shepherd, He's a perfect shepherd who knows all that we go through in our life. So I have to slowly begin to hand over to Him, all right, and share with Him my fears, right, my struggles, my pains in life, and the kind of thing that I was going through. In fact, what happens was that a few years ago, I was up in Penang speaking to the Penang Pastors Fellowship. And at one point in the Penang Pastors Fellowship, some of the pastors in Penang got together to pray for so-and-so, and the news was leaked out, and they were under pressure, and they were interrogated seriously right, by the police, and there's so much fear that went through. Every one of these pastors were called up even 5 times for interrogation. And finally, we met up with them many months later, had a great chat with them, and they shared with me the pressure, the terror they went through. And one of the pastors said to me, "Pastor Dino, I was under so much pressure that I felt like closing my Sunday service that Sunday and just tell the church there'll be no service today." I said to him, "Brother, did you close down your service?" He said, "After praying and thinking long and hard, I finally wrestled through and decided not to shut the Sunday service." I commended him. I said, "Brother, you know what? I wanted to commend you for finally taking a stand and be courageous and bold to face the fears, the gripping fear that you're going through." I said, "You know why this is so important? Because if you shut down your Sunday service, it means that there's a lot of fear in you. And if there's a lot of fear in you, I guarantee you, your fear will be multiplied many times over in your members. It is always like this, friends. If the leader is fearful, the members will be even more fearful." And I said to him, "You know what? Once you do this just once, you have lost a church. You have lost a congregation. So in future, you don't have to shut down. They will shut down themselves. The moment they hear anything that is of concern, that is produce some anxiety, they will not come anymore." So what has happened? All right? You have produced and created that kind of situation whereby fear now pervades the whole congregation. But I commended him. I said, "Well done for taking a stand. It will not be easy. It can be sometimes at the cost of your life. But friends, can I say to you this? When a leader is courageous, you inspire courage in people in the congregation. It is always like this. Give an example to try to support what I'm trying to say. Philippians chapter 1, Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippian Christians, because we all know Paul was in prison when he was writing this letter to the Philippians. And Paul writes in this manner, right, in Philippians chapter 1, okay, in prison, in chains, and he writes to the believers there, all right, in church in Philippi, like this, verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 1, all right, verse 13 onwards. Paul writes like this, 13 and 14. "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." Because of my chains, to identify with Paul, all right, it's a dangerous identification. Why? Because here's a person in prison, as it were, for crime, all right, against the powers that be, as it were. And so if you're a prisoner, if you're identified with a prisoner who had seemingly, as it were, broken the law, what happens? You will be, in that sense, okay, connected with someone who has done wrong, and your life could be in danger as well, isn't it? And yet Paul writes to the believers, "Because of my chains, believers and have been more courageously and fearlessly living out the Christian faith." And it's all like this, friends. If the leader is fearful, it multiplies in the members. But the leader is courageous, you inspire, you encourage people to just stand up and trust God. Why? Because this God is a good God, and all God's people say, so important for all of us. Not only, friends, you know what? Right in the midst of insecurity, to know that the presence of God is there to watch and to protect us. But also, friends, in the midst of insecurity, to know that the Lord wants to build faith in all of us. Because when they're insecure, Jesus will step in to build faith in each one of us, his disciples, his followers, and we see this in Mark chapter 4. Why? Because in chapter 4, verses 35 to 41 in Mark, this is what the account of Jesus, the disciples, is like. "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, he took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came out, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this?' Even the wind and the waves obey him." See, friends, Jesus is trying to build faith in them and not allow fear to grip them. This is the purpose of why Jesus, as it were, right, is not jumping out right away in the boat there and deal with the issues. Why? Because he wants them to learn. And we know, friends, you know what? It's a process of learning. I'm still learning myself what it means to grow in faith and in greater faith, what it means to continue to deal with fear, because it will not go away overnight. It will continue to come, all right, to challenge us, even to taunt us. And this is where, friends, learning to grow in greater faith will help us slowly, slowly become people who overcome fear for you and I. And that's so, so important for us in this regard like this. But more than that, friends, you know, third thing is this: in the midst of adversity, know that there is a God who gives us comfort and strength. Not just, friends, in uncertain times, not just in insecure times, but also in adverse times. Know that there's a God who is there to comfort me and to give me strength. Why? Because our Apostle Paul writes to us like this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Apostle Paul is going through a trying time. What that thorn in the flesh was, we don't really know. But Paul is going through a really tough and challenging time. And God says to Apostle Paul, I will not take the thorn away from you, but my grace is sufficient to sustain you, to keep you, to watch over you, to enable you to press on in spite of that you're going through in your life. Friends, that's the reason why you and I can be assured, friends, you know what? That is God's word there to comfort us, listen. God's promises there for you and I to really lay hold of and to believe this God who has made this promise will fulfill it. Amen. This God will never leave us or forsake us. This God will never ever play us out. And we must come to the place of confidence, all right, in the Lord Jesus Christ in this manner. And that's so important for you and I. Not only, friends, you know, his words are there to comfort us, but also, friends, his actions are there to strengthen us. And you notice, friends, there at the end of verse 10, right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You see, friends, God's strength is never made perfect in our strength. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. It is when we are weak, then we are strong. It is when we are weak, friends, then we experience God's grace, God's power, God's goodness, God's blessings, God's help upon all of us. And that's why, friends, you know, you and I should never, ever, all right, as it were, chicken out when we are weak. That's not for me. That's for someone else. That's for so-and-so. That's not fine for me, friends. It is when we are weak. This is where, friends, we look to God. We call upon him. Lord, I am weak. Lord, I am fearful. I do not know what to do. Lord, help me. Help me. Amen. And he wants to do that for all of us, which is, I think, very, very important for you. And it is, as I said, Minyam, all right, I was so gripped by fear, so terrified by the whole thing, that finally I say, Lord, I want to trust in your word, that you are there, journeying with me every step of the way. For even though I walk to the valley of the shadow, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod is there to ward off evil. And all right, and also your staff is there to guide me, that I pray by your grace, I walk in the right direction. But more than that, oh God, what happens is for me, give me strength in the midst of my weakness. Give me strength in the midst of my real weakness, that has so affected me even in my sleep, that it troubled me deeply. Lord, help me in the process. And friends, you know, by his grace, he takes me through little by little. And Doris can tell you the account. I went through it all like this, friends. Slowly, slowly, together as husband and wife, we journeyed little by little. It wasn't a breakthrough overnight. It is learning. And I'm still learning after more than 30 years in this experience like this, friends. What is it like, therefore, for you and I? To build faith, so that when we build faith, it will begin to help us to slowly overcome fear. All right? I purposely word it like this, friends. Not when we build faith, we'll overcome fear, but we build faith and seek to overcome fear. Because why? As I said earlier, fear will try to creep back again and again, try to come back to try to intimidate you, to try to cripple you if possible, all right? To try to paralyze you. And this is where, friends, it's a constant journey of seeking to overcome fear, overcome fear. But friends, to overcome fear, what do we need to do? We focus on God. We don't focus on our fear. See, this is what sometimes happens to us right now. We are so focused on this COVID situation that we've blown the COVID situation so big that God becomes so small. All right? And that's my worry and concern. As a result of this, friends, sometimes even Christians, they don't leave the house. I'm so crippled by the whole thing. My goodness, it's getting closer and closer to home. What can I do? What should I do? My goodness, I don't leave the house anymore. Call her for, okay, can I meet you for lunch, coffee, pastor, dinner? So sorry. Okay, another time. I don't know when. Cannot tell you when. Another time. Not that we should not be, all right, be wise and be sensible about it, but we must not allow this so grip us, because it's my burden and worry as I look at the situation here in Malaysia as well as around the whole world. Even Christians are so gripped by this whole thing that what happens? We are paralyzed in the process. We cannot do church the way we want to do church. We cannot meet the way we want to meet. You know what I mean? But friends, you know, when you're going to step up in faith and trust God and seek to begin to overcome fear, what would be the consequences? The first consequence, friends, for you and I, is that it gives us peace of heart and mind. See, friends, when there is faith to believe that this God is a good God who really loves me, I can trust Him. I can have peace of heart and mind. And that's so important, isn't it? And that's where the promise of Jesus comes to us, as I claim the promises of Jesus, the Word of God, to comfort us. And so Jesus tells us, John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Friends, Jesus says this to you and I, let my peace rule and reign your life. Allow my peace to take over, friends. And when it's a peace of God, what happens? Anxiety goes out. Worry, doubt goes out. Restedness comes in. And then you know your life is in God's good hands. You rest in His peace. Amen. That was the first thing, friends, God wants you and I to do. Why? Because in the midst of all kinds of restlessness around us, in the midst of all kinds of news that will come to try to intimidate and threaten us, friends, you and I must know first and foremost, the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, that this will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, you know, when we build faith and seek to overcome fear, secondly, friends, it offers us freedom. Wonderful freedom. Why? Because it's what Apostle Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, where God is, where the Holy Spirit, there is freedom, and real freedom, and not paralysis, friends. And it's very important. And we should not, of course, be wild and simply run here and then everywhere like this. But friends, where we need to go, where we need to move, where we need to travel, friends, just go and step out in freedom and in faith to trust God, to know this God cares for me and loves me. Amen. It's so important for you and I, right? Because sometimes I find some Christians are not free anymore, right? But as I said, take all the precautions. But don't, friends, allow the things around us to so cripple us that we dare not move anymore at all, which would be so sad, friends, you know, right? And that's where developing faith becomes important as we seek to begin to continue more and more overcome. But here's one more thing, friends. The one last thing is that it produces joy in us. It produces real joy, not just peace or heart and mind, not just freedom, real joy in all of us. And that's how that's how Nehemiah wants us to understand, to recognize that in the midst of reading of God's word, when God's people are so gripped by the fact that they're not living out the word of God, Nehemiah said to the people of God, this is not a time to grieve. This is not a time to be sad, but this is a time for celebration. This is a time for joy. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Friends, I need to allow joy to come back again in all our hearts and our lives and all God's people say. Because when joy comes through, friends, you know, you and I experience new strength, newfound strength in God, and that's so important. Because as I said, all kinds of things coming through, breaking our hearts and creating, friends, joylessness instead of joyfulness. Take an example. Just 2 weeks ago, Doris and I had lunch with a wonderful couple from UMC. We are both so inspired, so blessed by them in their lives, in their work and ministry in UMC. Such an amazing, outstanding couple. Chatted and talked, had a great lunch together. But the last few minutes, the wife broke down. And shared the pain and agony they go through. Not because they have compromised, do things that are wrong. They're committed to this country. They desire the best of this country. Whatever it is, they're going to remain. And they want their children to be like this as well. But all kinds of things and news are bombarded at the kids to say, this is not a country to be, right? Get ready to move. Go visit study. Never come home. Again, they're bombarded with this. What pain and agony they go through in their life. And friends, it is in times like this, as we connect like this, we help people to experience again a newfound joy in the Lord. Amen. A newfound joy that will be their strength all over again. Why? Because we all tend to be so negative about this country, Malaysia, including Christians, which is so sad. Of course, do I know many things are wrong? Ask me, I will tell you so many things that are wrong. But friends, you know, we are not grateful and thankful enough for the many good things that are right in this country. Amen. Isn't it? Our infrastructure is world-class. Our roads are world-class. Turn on the tap, there's always water. Switch on the light, electricity will come on. So many things we enjoy. See? But we only focus on the negative. Friends, what about focusing positive? And of all people, you and I as Christians must do that, friends. Must be grateful and thank. Wherever God has put us in, He must have a purpose and design for us to put us in this country. And all God's people say, and believe God for that. And what a privilege for us to minister to the wife and say, Pastor, can you do something about it? I say, I will try to. Can you do some videos for us? Write certain things for us to help us to refocus about what is God's call and purpose for us in this land, in this nation of ours. And it's so important. Let me close up with one final story. This Friday before last, I went to visit this nursery. It is a spanky new office in downtown Kuala Lumpur. Brought a few younger CEOs with me so that they could also have a chance to interact with him. Right, as we're waiting for him, I was brought to his room, sat there in a nice, lovely penthouse, that kind of thing, and said, sorry, Tansri is in a meeting, he will come up very, very soon. Okay, by the way, what's the name of your church? I said, DUMC. What's that? Damansara. Oh, Damansara. Okay, yeah, yeah, I've written something about this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, by the way, what church you go to? She says, I don't go to a church. I said, by the way, are you a Christian? She says, not sure, lah. Really? We got such a not sure. It's either yes or no, lah. Right now. So I said, surely not. It is my great joy and privilege out of 7.5 billion people God has brought me here, okay, to see you, to connect with you. If you're not a Christian, I want to urge and encourage you, make today a special day, a wonderful day. And it was my joy and privilege to lead her to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end, when we met up with the Tan Sri and had a wonderful chat with him at the end before I prayed, I said, you know, Tan Sri, I actually led your special assistant to the Lord. She said, what? She has worked with me for more than 30 years. Maybe I'm a bad Christian, that's why. Has the humility and grace to just be very frank with all of us. But friends, you know, that day would be the day of greater joy for her. Amen. You and I who are people of joy or ought to be people of joy must introduce joy to as many people as possible. Because there are many people who are burdened, sad, lonely, fearful, isolated, troubled, struggling like crazy. And you and I, who have faith in Lord Jesus Christ and should know this God better than anyone else, to know this God loves me, to know this God is with me wherever I go, I don't feel insecure, to know this God is always there in my adversities, that His word is there to comfort me, that His power is there to strengthen me. Friends, when we walk like this, we walk with real peace of heart and mind. We walk, friends, in real freedom, and we walk in joy of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe there's anyone here in the auditorium or those watching online. You do not yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're not a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I urge you and encourage you? He has laid down His life for you, indeed for the whole world. Make today the greatest of all days. Make today the day of real joy and everlasting joy by acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. And a journey begins, a journey of faith. So if you'd like to never take a step of faith, either here in the auditorium or watching online, I want to lead you now in this prayer to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Would you follow after me in your heart as I lead you in this prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your love for me. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and your power. And give me your love, peace, and joy. Enable me to know the amazing love of yours that you lay down your life for me. And today, Lord Jesus Christ, I can be a precious child of yours, that special child of yours. You know my name and you'll lead me from now on and forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those who prayed this prayer, either here in the auditorium or watching online, wherever they are, here in Malaysia, around the world, seal it deep right now by your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray, and bring this new birth and new life to pass. Fill them with the Holy Spirit and empower them to live for you. Lord, I pray that you renew their hearts and their minds, oh God, as they understand you more and more deep down within. They will know how much you love them, that the love of God will never separate them from anything that comes to trouble them, that comes, oh God, to attack them whatsoever. That in the midst of insecurity, they could find real presence and security in Christ. But also in the midst of adversity, there is a word in your promise to assure us and your strength to empower us. So bless these precious ones, Father, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, for those who prayed that prayer, just want to accept Jesus in auditorium, maybe at the end, you want to step forward, we're going to pray for you, identify yourself, we're going to help you. Otherwise, you can also, friends, those of you watching online, okay, if you're on a full screen, you exit the full screen, okay? If you exit the full screen, that is an icon that says raise hand. If you pray that prayer, accept Jesus, would you, friends, all right, click on that icon, okay? And people follow you up, fill out the details that is there. Others, if you need prayer, all right, click on the icon as well, and there'll be people who will follow up with you and pray for you online. And friends, you know, here's our joy privilege to be prayed for personally, all right, by pastors and leaders of the church here. Should we stand to sing this closing song very quickly, all right, if there is one? All right, no, there's no closing song. Okay, now let me close in prayer with a benediction. Okay, come. Our Father, we thank and praise you that you are such a good God and you love us with an everlasting love. Your love will never let us go, no matter what we go through in life. We praise and we thank you, O God, that indeed, O God, in uncertain times, and increasing uncertain times, O God, that is a love of yours. But also, our Father, in the midst of insecurity, there is real security in Christ because you are always present with us. But also in the midst of adversity we go through, Father, oh God, that is your word to comfort us, but also your actions to strengthen us, empower us, enable us to live lives, oh God, of peace, lives, Father, of freedom, and most of all, lives of joy in you. So bless us all, Father, I pray, oh God, and glorify your name. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his perfect peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you all again. Okay, brothers and sisters, those who need prayer, whatever, come for, we're going to pray for you, including those, okay, we just pray to accept Jesus. God bless you all. Have a great week ahead.